Welcome to Nuance Judaism, coming to you from OU Torah.
I'm Simi.
And I am Rivka.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so this week I was thinking a lot about the connection between our thoughts and our actions. So you have people who are very action-based, but can't really have such a deep conversation with them. Other people you can have a lot of deep conversations with, but they stay on their couch. And this came to light, this thought, as I was teaching a bride. And what I was telling her is that on your wedding day, you're a beacon of hope and of beauty and of the goal being reached to other people. Do you know what I mean? Like that bride all in white and people coming.
She has become what every other girl wants to be at that point?
Yes. She's either what every other girl wants to be at that point or the sweet memories of all the women around.
Right? What do you mean, the sweet memories of the women?
Oh, when I was young. That was me when I was young.
Oh, interesting. So you're either saying way. From anybody's point of view, it's the image of perfection in a way, either where you were or where you want to be.
Exactly. And I told her that something that she can focus on at her wedding day is to give that extra smile or to give that extra nod or greeting to people because it'll make their week, it'll make their month, it'll make them feel so special that the superstar of the evening looked at them and wished them well. And she mentioned she never heard of that perspective before. And I told her, you know, some stuff's going to go wrong at your wedding. You know, maybe the food won't be so good or a spice will be missing or the music will, whatever, get messed up. But the way you treat other people as a beacon of beauty and light, that you can never take away from yourself. So
just going to repeat the point. You're saying that a color at a stage where every focus is on her, the fact that it is almost unexpected or almost you would allow it to pass if that person didn't notice you in such a position of
she's
glory.
She's the diva, right? Yeah.
When she does notice you, it's worth that much more.
Exactly. And it's anyway an emotional time. And then if it's about the guest as well, it makes it so much more. That kind of got me thinking because we're talking about the halachas and a lot about the wisdom of marriage in general. And this is very not part of the wisdom. It's just be nice. Give someone that smile. And in a way, those two things, sometimes they complement each other. Sometimes they not. Sometimes people are very, very into their what they're thinking, that they're not going to be the ones greeting people. And then you have someone that is the social butterfly, and all they do is greet people, but they're not necessarily thinking so deeply about the day. And a very intense analogy would be your wedding day. Right?
So it's interesting you're saying that because you can parallel that with other areas of life as well. Parenting is a good example. Marriage is the one that you brought up. But
well, how would you say with parenting?
People read lots of books about how to be a great parent. There's beautiful wisdom and lovely ideas. But if they're not grounded in something experience-based, then okay. And then you have the people who, I suppose, are good parents, but or they're the ideas that are grounding them, they would do a lot better if they had some sort of
a little bit more instruction,
conceptual ideas behind the sort of intuitive dance with their kids.
Exactly.
Sometimes yay, sometimes nay, but if they had the wisdom behind it, it would be something really special.
Or grounded or not wavering because they know it's sourced well. Yeah. Anyway, so today's Pirkei Avos phrase is from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It talks about a tree. And who said something very counterintuitive, I thought, when I first read through it. I just went through and I read through it, and this one really struck me. Somebody whose wisdom is greater than his good deeds is like somebody who has a tree with a lot of branches, but not so many roots. So when a storm comes, it will be uprooted. But somebody who has not so much wisdom, but a lot of good deeds, that's like someone who has not so many fruits, not so many branches, but a lot of deep roots. Now, it's a bit counterintuitive because if I would have said which one should be the roots and which one should be the branches, I would have said wisdom is your roots and deeds is your branches because first you think about something, that's what grounds you, and then you sprout forth with your actions. But he's saying the opposite. Why do you think that is?
So actually, I would disagree with you. Originally, I would think I was on the same front as you, but as you were saying it.
Convince me otherwise. Why is it so counterintuitive?
You're ready, I think, no, I mean this in the with the greatest respect, it could be because you're more of a conceptual thinker. Because when you think of these ideas of being, even the metaphor itself mirrors the idea, being grounded. We're thinking about it perhaps a bit too conceptually.
But you're grounded with wisdom,
right? But a tree, what goes up in the air, that's a bit difficult to grasp upon. It's like leaves. That's up in the air. But grounded conduct and action, I can rely on. I can see. I can experience. It's grounded. The metaphor of...
Wait, so you would say actions are grounded? I would say wisdom is grounded.
Right, but even the way you would use words, even in your opening you used it, it came to mind when you were in the opening. You said, he takes these ideas and he grounds them. You ground ideas.
But with wisdom, not with action.
No, when a person has a great idea, you said, beautiful wisdom, it's not that impressive until they ground it in action. We use the metaphor of grounding action even before we were talking about a tree.
Oh, I see.
Meaning, before you said it, I also thought it was counterintuitive. Like, you're right. When I have a wise person, I think of them having, like, deep-rooted concepts that, yeah, they'll falter in action here and there, but everything will come back to their philosophy.
But in a way, one conversation or one, not feeling great about things, you can change your opinion on stuff. But to change your actions, your habits, not just an action, your habits, that takes a lot longer. So from a habit perspective, I hear it. From a habit perspective.
I think that's what their point is. If I want to know what a person believes, this is more of an existential thread, which is, if I want to know what you believe, I see what you do, not what you say.
Oh, listen to what I say, not what I do is like a slogan. Back to children. Children will listen less to what you say. They'll look at what you do.
And that, I think that's the wisdom, no pun intended, of what Rebbe Elazar is saying. The idea that if you want to be grounded in this world, you have to ground yourself in your actions. What happens to a tree? Forget about pushing it over. A tree thrives if it's got roots. You want to change a little bit, but be consistent. Change a habit. This is very stoic. Change your habits, the little habits that happen day after day. If you want to change your life, don't make a radical change on a Tuesday. Make a small incremental change, but have it repeatedly done in your life.
But by the way, it's so another analogy that another similarity. To change a tiny little habit, like, okay, I'm going to wake up 10 minutes earlier, something like that. Nobody sees it. Nobody's applauding.
Oh, very good.
So it's like it's underneath the ground. Whereas... The high and mighty
beautiful philosophy.
New philosophy is like, ooh, I am now a what's it called?
Conservative?
No.
Conservationist?
Yeah, I'm now a conservationist. And I'm telling everybody about it. That sounds great. Or are you actually recycling?
Interesting.
Like, it's very nice to be talking about it. You're like, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Okay, now what are you doing about it?
Nobody shows off about that.
Are you kidding me?
No, people don't say they're a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, okay. I now know the truth about the world. Oh, okay, what small act of kindness are you doing to make the world a better place?
Very good. So like as you said, in an environmentalist, we want to see that being lived out in action. So just to repeat the point, the roots are how you live your life. The branches and what flowers above it may be is essential as well. A tree without any branches, without any leaves, isn't a particularly impressive tree. They're both needed. But what stands the test of time are your actions in this world. That's why the Torah has always, just to parallel it halachically, we put on the Tefillin and Shel Yad before we put on the Tefillin and Shel Rosh.
Go ahead.
The Tefillin and Shel Yad is a validation of the action comes first. I might not feel it today, but I'll do it. I'll worry about it tomorrow.
Right, they even say that, so Revolvi and Ali Shor, he writes about how you have different times in your life. You may ava and you may sinna. It's like the tides going in and out of the beach. Sometimes you feel like, oh, I could hug the world and the world is so wonderful and I have everything I need and let me just go out there, make the world a better place. And sometimes it feels kind of the opposite, like you just don't want connection. You don't want any of that. And what he says, during the Yimei Sinna, don't give up everything, but don't start taking things on. Keep a certain things as an anchor. Just do those minimal things and wait till you feel better. So you keep a little bit, and then you let the other things, you give yourself a break. When you have those habits, those minimal habits that you worked on slowly, slowly, those are not things you're going to give up. But I was going to say another thing. The process of a person, tell me if this rings true. If you start at the roots, so you have to build habits. You have to educate your children first, is you do, before you understand. Nasa v'nishma.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
So you first do. You build yourself good habits. From there, you still don't just walk around the Robotron that's just doing good. No. From there emerges good thoughts. And those good thoughts are deep, profound, searching, thinking thoughts. But they're coming from a place of you're already in the religion. You're already finding meaning in it. And then what would the fruits be? I would say that from someone who has good habits, from there come good thoughts. The fruits might be teaching others.
Oh, wow.
Inspiring others. Because you need to inspire with your thoughts. You're not just going to inspire and with your actions.
In a way, the fruits are the overflow of a healthy tree.
Correct. So if I tell an inspiring story to somebody else, that inspiring story is only going to hit them if they know that I actually also practice what I preach. I have to preach. Those are like the leaves, the branches. But it has to come from a place, those roots, they're actually practicing it.
Wow.
If I tell somebody, if I look at somebody that's very stressed and I'm like, and how are you filling your cup this week? Have you gone for a walk? Are you drinking? Are you sleeping? And I'm not doing that myself. They're going to notice that. They're going to feel that. Right? So I'm bought into it. The roots can be the actions and the branches can be the thoughts. And it's just very interesting that for a religion that's very into thinking, most of the Torah is about action.
So just to add to your point, the action, if you have healthy habits, you can then build off them with your philosophy. It's a bit of a positive feedback loop. If you have good habits, you have the space to add to it the philosophy.
Right.
Because the philosophy has somewhere to land. But then the actions themselves become enriched, and thereby the process just starts right again.
Whereas if you have unhealthy habits, even if you're learning, it's just gonna
seep into the black hole of meaninglessness.
Exactly. So back to the wedding. Yes, you need to learn about why you're getting married and how to keep the halachos, etc. But we need to ground ourselves in I'm a giving person that's going into this marriage.
And thereby the first...
Go ahead. No. I'm the type of person that gives a smile to that friend that I haven't seen
in a long time. And that was the foundation of your marriage.
Correct.
Beautiful.
Thanks for listening.